such beautiful worship, hey? Thanks to you. Our first reading this morning is from Psalm 30. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced? If I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me, Lord. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongu ki te kupu, a te wairua ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Kia mo tonu tana kupu kia tātou. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. And glory to God. Gloria ki te atua. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, If you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell anyone about this, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, the man went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in the lonely places. Yet the people still came to join him from everywhere. This is the Gospel of Christ. Te rongopai tēne a te karaite. That's the word.
Can you hear me? Yeah, okay. Well, hopefully, yeah, there we go. I can hear a bit of stuff going on. Good morning. How are you all? All right. We're in the middle of boxes and packing this weekend, because next weekend we're moving. Has anyone moved house? Is it a little bit stressful? So, you might need to, if I stop making sense, perhaps Mark, if you could stand up and just come over and just hold me here by the shirt and go like this, okay? And I'm just going, oh, thank you, okay? And I'll get with it again. Anyway, hopefully I will make sense. But I'm very excited. This week coming up, apart from the move, we're also starting Lent, Lent starts on Wednesday, starts on Ash Wednesday, and Lent is a period of roughly 6 weeks, 40 days. 40 days because Jesus was in the desert 40 days and 40 nights. Now, all sorts of things to say about that. First thing to say is that we have a calendar as a church, and we don't try and do everything every Sunday, because if we try and pack in the whole of everything that Jesus ever did and said every single Sunday, we'd just go crazy. So we try and spread it out over the year, as you know. And the two big festivals in the year that we have as Christians are Christmas and Easter, yeah. So obviously we want to really have a good focus on the fact and celebrate and thank God every year the fact that Jesus became one of us, that God became a human being. And that's obviously what we do at Christmas time. And we have a real special focus on that because there's so much to say about that. And then at Easter, what are we celebrating? The resurrection, the most incredible thing that ever happened, that Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, died on a cross to forgive us and then rose again from the dead to conquer death, the devil, sin, and all of that stuff. Isn't that wonderful? And he's inviting us into his life. And obviously we do that all through the year as well. We celebrate both those things all through the year, but we give it a special focus. Now, most of the year, this year, we're going through Mark's gospel. And it's we're going to go through it at a snail's pace because we're spreading it through the whole year. But we get to focus, that means, on every bit of Mark's gospel as we go through the year. But we take a break from that in Lent and Easter to look more focused, first of all in Lent, at what Jesus said about his death. And we do that from a little bit from Mark's gospel, but we jump around some of the statements that he said in Mark's gospel. And we also look a bit in John's gospel. So that's what we'll be doing for the next 6 weeks after today. We'll be looking a little bit in Mark's gospel and a little bit in John's gospel at some of the things Jesus said about his death, what it meant. And then, you know, we'll have Good Friday and Easter Sunday where we really go into depth on what Jesus did on the cross. And it's really amazing to be able to do that in a focused way every year. Of course, we do it throughout the year as well, but we give it a special focus once a year where we can really dig deeper, because you can't dig deeper every Sunday in everything. So we'll dig deeper into that mystery, that amazing fact, that thing that God did for us on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And then at Easter, for a few weeks after Easter, we'll be looking at a few of the things in the Gospels about the resurrection. And we'll be enjoying that. And then we'll go back to Mark for the rest of the year. Sound good? So that's the plan. But I was going to say something about Ash Wednesday. So Ash Wednesday kicks off Lent. It's a wonderful thing. It's a little, and everyone's welcome, but it obviously is middle of the week, and it's during, we're doing our service at 10:30. So it's during the day, middle of the week, so not everyone can make it. And you don't have to come, obviously, but you're very welcome if you want to. And it's a way of marking the beginning of Lent. Now, we've just been looking at Mark's Gospel. We've got to the end of chapter 1 now. And Mark's Gospel starts off just zooming through. Jesus, John the Baptist appears in the wilderness and says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." He's a voice crying in the wilderness, it says in Mark's Gospel. And then Jesus comes and gets baptized by John, and then he goes into the desert. And that's his preparation for ministry. He goes into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, and he prays, and the angels minister to him. And in Luke's gospel, it says he's sent by the Spirit into the desert, and he comes out of the desert in the power of the Spirit. In Mark's gospel, he's going so fast, he hasn't got time to say that. It's just like, he's there in the desert, angels minister to him, and then he's out again. and instantly he's into his ministry. And the first words that come out of Jesus' lips in his ministry when he comes out of the desert in Mark's gospel are, "Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, so repent and believe in the gospel." Repent and believe in the gospel. And Ash Wednesday and Lent are about that. They're about us. You know, we want to do this every day of our lives, repent and believe in the gospel, don't we? But once a year, we get like a spring clean for your house. You tidy all through the year, right?
Yeah.
Right? We tidy all through the year. Otherwise, it would be a nightmare. But once a year, often, we do a big kind of clean out, don't we? And we call it spring cleaning or whatever we want to call it, but, you know. And with a car, you know, obviously you want to keep it topped up, keep, you know, tinkering away at it and give it a bit of a clean every now and then and all that sort of thing. But once a year, roughly, or once every whatever it is, 10,000 miles, it was in the UK, I don't know what it is here, but anyway, kilometers, because I get miles and kilometers muddled up, but you know what it is. You get a tune-up, don't you? And you get everything oil changed, and you do a big overhaul, a big sort of session on the car, and you tune the thing up. So whether it's a house or a car or whatever, we do that. We tinker away all year, but every year we go for a special clean-up. And that's what Lent is about. It's an opportunity to invite us, you and me, as disciples of Christ, to do what we do all year in a more focused way and have a bit of a tune-up with God, a bit of a spring clean with God. Is there some junk that I have taken on in my life that actually I don't need? You know, some stuff that I need to strip away, some habits that I've started to get into that, nah, they're not life-giving. I don't need that. You know, just, yeah. And we start afresh. We clean up a bit. Are there some things in our lives that need tuning up, that like, actually, I want to get a little bit better at this thing. I want to get a little bit more disciplined, perhaps, about my Bible reading or my praying or my giving or my service of others or whatever it is. I just want to have a little tune-up there and tighten up in that little area. And we get to focus on that and just say to God, just like Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, I've got 40 days now. And he was getting ready for his ministry. I've got 40 days now. I just want to get right with you a bit more. Get serious again with you. Is there anything in my life that you want to tune up that I should just focus on? Or anything in my life that you want to clean out that I just need to get rid of? And get a little bit serious with God. And so Ash Wednesday, ashes are a biblical sign of repentance, aren't they? You know, Job says, I repent in dust and ashes at the end of Job's, at the book of Job. And Jesus talks about sackcloth and ashes, you know, repenting in sackcloth and ashes. There's sackcloth and ashes. We don't wear sackcloth, but we use ash just as a biblical sign or a symbol of the fact that we're repenting. And so on Ash Wednesday, if you want, you can get marked with ash, and we make some ash. And what the words that are said are, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return, from the book of Genesis. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus' first words in his public ministry. Because that's what we're doing. We're trying to get serious, following Jesus into the desert, as it were, in our own way, and getting serious, having a tune-up, repenting, turning away. Repent means to turn away from rubbish, to turn away from stuff that's not life-giving, from, you know, all the stuff that is a waste of time, and to turn towards the one who gives life, the gospel, Jesus. So we repent and turn to Christ. And remembering that we're dust, and to dust we shall return, is a good thing to do, actually. When I was a bit younger, I was like, I don't want to think about death and dying. In fact, you just don't when you're a kid, you know. You're indestructible. Anyone remember being indestructible? You're indestructible. But as you get older, obviously, you realize you're not indestructible because bits start falling off and stop working and things like that. But to remember that actually we are dust, and to dust we shall return. So let's make the most of what God's given us. Let's make the most of this life that he's given us as a gift. And let's do something good with it, something that brings life into this world. So that's what it's about. Make sense? So I won't say anything more about that, but that's kind of Lent, and that's the beginning of Lent. You know, remember your dust, and to dust you shall return. So repent and believe in the gospel. Do something good. It's a very positive thing. I think repentance is fantastic. I love repentance. It's a joyful thing. I mean, it's a sorrowful thing that you're going, I'm sorry, I did those things, and I did them. It was me. I'm guilty. I did. But also, I'm turning away from that. Forgive me, Lord, and thank you that you forgive me. And I want to go that way, which is your way, and it's the way of life. And I'm going to bring some life into the world. So repentance is, yes, sorrowful, but it's also joyful. And it results in life. So that's that. That's the first bit of what I want to say. And the second bit of what I want to say is, we've just got to this point in the first chapter of Mark where Jesus has gone into the wilderness. He's come out. He said, repent, believe in the gospel. He's healed a whole heap of people. And he has then escaped off to pray. So he did his big 40 days of praying. But then throughout his ministry, he just keeps, you know, hiding away, as it were. He keeps going. The word is going into the desert. Going into the wilderness. We saw that word last week. He goes away into the wilderness or the desert to pray. He talks about going into the secret place with your Father in Matthew's Gospel. And your Father, who sees what you do in secret, will reward you. That's that same idea. That sort of desert place, that secret place, that hiding place, that place where you just get with God and you're with God and you recharge spiritually, you refocus. You're replenished. And then you go out again. And he comes out from that place and he goes, actually, people come to him, the disciples, and say, what were you doing? Where are you? Where are you? Everyone's looking for you. And he says, actually, we need to go further afield. And that's what he does. He goes further afield. He's got a bit more focus because he spent time with his Father. And they heal this guy. Or Jesus heals this guy that we saw in our reading today. Who was yesterday when James and Julie Coleman came here? There's a bunch of us came. It's a really good, really good time, wasn't it? So I don't know, there were about 30 people or so, 40 did you say? Yeah, okay, 40 people. And the youth leaders came as well, which was fantastic. They were sitting there, and these guys from Silverstream, they run the Anglican Church in Silverstream, were teaching on healing. And how to pray for healing. The first thing that they started with, the first thing that they said, and they spent at least half an hour on this, I think it was it all comes from our relationship with God. It all comes from knowing Christ, knowing the Father, knowing the Holy Spirit. And it's that time. Even Jesus did it, Julie Coleman was saying. You know, he spent that 40 days in the wilderness thing, kept running off and having early morning sessions with his Father, you know, throughout his ministry. Even Jesus did it, and, you know, all Christians ever since have done it. We find our... we could say the word power. We find our power, but we find our love, our resourcing, everything. We do find our power. But we find our life, we find our focus in being with God. Isn't that right? And we can be with God, as we've said before here, we can be with God out for a walk. We can be with God singing a song on Sunday morning together. We can be with God in all sorts of situations and places. But we've got to be with God. And that's where the power to heal comes from, she was saying. That's where that comes from. You know, yes, there's power in the name of Jesus, and we can use the name of Jesus, and sometimes Jesus just moves, and totally. But also, we can try and use the name of Jesus, and you know, the sons of Sceva, do you remember the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts? They're these exorcists that went around trying to throw out demons in the name of Jesus. They didn't know Jesus. And they didn't follow Jesus or worship Jesus, but they tried to use his name without knowing him. And they would say, get out in the name of Jesus. And then one time, this chap, this guy who had a demon, just said, "Jesus, I know." You know, they were saying, "In the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, get out." And this guy got up and he said, "Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know." This is the demon speaking, "but you, I haven't heard of." And he thumped them and beat them up, and they all ran away with their clothes and rags and everything. There's this idea that actually we need to know Jesus, We need to know him in order to be able to do stuff for him. It's not enough just to use his name but not really know him. Does that make sense? And spending time with God, as even Jesus did, is what results in the ability to do stuff for him, to live for him. There's that famous saying as well that we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Like a jar is filled up with water. We want to be full of the Holy Spirit. But I leak. We leak, don't we? We've got holes. I do. I can't hold the Holy Spirit, say, all week from a Sunday morning or whatever it is. I need to be recharged because I leak. The water just runs out. I've got some holes in my bucket, dear Liza. And the water runs out. But, I'm not perfect. I'm broken. But the wonderful thing is that I can come before God again and again and get recharged. So as we saw Jesus doing and the healing comes out of that, let's be those, you and I, who keep coming before God. Has anyone ever felt challenged by that phrase that Paul uses, pray always, or pray at all times? Yeah. It can be quite scary and daunting because you think, oh crap, I'll never be able to do that. Pray at all times? Really? That's just another burden to put on me that I can't fulfill. Actually, I think it is something we can do. And it's something, I remember when I was in youth group, this dude who was in his 60s, he worked for the BBC, he was a cameraman for the BBC, and he came in and he had just become a Christian in the last few years. So he was a new convert in his 60s, BBC cameraman. And he said, that phrase, I read about that, and I do that. And I was thinking, what the heck? How do you do that? How do you pray at all times? How can you do that? Really? Are you telling the truth? And he just said, yeah, when I'm gardening, I'm just gardening with the Lord. And he loved his garden. So he just gardened with Jesus. Can I invite you, brothers and sisters, to garden with Jesus? He walks down the street with Jesus, and he'll just chat to you, just aware that God is there, Christ is there, Jesus is with him. And he'll chat. Sometimes, has anyone ever been in love? when you're in love and you're in the room with the person you love, and it's in those days where it's very exciting, which of course it is still today. Yeah, someone's going like this, stop. But when you're in the room with someone you love, you don't have to be talking to them to be aware of them, do you? You could be doing something else. You could be cooking a meal and you know they're there. You're very aware of the fact they're there. And that's what it's like for this guy, and that's what it's like for many Christians. They're just aware that Jesus is there, even while they're doing their work or talking to somebody or doing their business or whatever it is. They're aware that Jesus is there. And so they just naturally turn and talk to him every now and then. What do you think about this? She's, oh, can you help me with this? Oh, Lord, they really need some help. Give me some good words for this. Give me some good words. What can I do? Help. Do you know what I mean? All through the day. And that's, what a beautiful flower this is. Isn't that lovely, Lord? Maybe it'll be good over there. I don't know, because I'm not a gardener. Someone else can do the gardening analogy. But doing all things with Jesus. And We want to do, in our Lent course, which is only four sessions, so we've got Ash Wednesday this week, next week we're not doing a session, and then four Wednesdays after that, we'll do a daytime session and an evening session so that people can make it on a Wednesday. And we'll look at that. The more I've thought about what we should be doing, the more it's honed down. I was like, discipline disciples, and I was, oh, it's got to be about prayer. I really feel it's about prayer. So it's discipline disciples, prayer. Now I'm just thinking, it's pray always. I'm really feeling that God's wanting to invite us into thinking about what that means to live in his presence all the time and to pray always, like breathing. So it's natural. We're just breathing with the Lord. We're living in his presence day in, day out, whatever we're doing. So that's going to be the focus of our Lent course. Does that sound all right? Okay, I'm going to pray now, and then we'll get on with the rest of the service. But I'm just really excited about this idea of being in God's presence. We can take ourselves off into the secret place and soak in the Lord so that we can go out and be with him. Be with the Lord as we're going about our daily stuff. And we're just aware that he's with us. And that we're in his presence, and at any moment we can just have a quick chat and carry on with him. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your goodness and for your love. We thank you for your presence with us by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took time to be with your Father, and that then you would just go about your daily business, talking to people, meeting people, healing people, eating with people, feeding people, doing stuff, whatever you did, in the Father's presence. And you said, I do only what I see my Father doing, and I speak only what I hear him saying, because you're with him all the time. And we thank you that you've invited us into your presence. Thank you for those words that Paul writes, that we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us. And we thank you for your own words, Jesus, that we are like the vine and the branches. You're the vine and we're the branches. We're in you and you're in us. And we should abide and keep abiding and remaining and living in you day in, day out. And we ask that you would give us grace to do that, to be aware of your presence more and more throughout our daily lives, that we just know you with us, your gentle, loving presence, your strength, your strong presence, your healing presence, your goodness, your faithfulness, and your kindness. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.